Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. Yes, we're back. We're back for our second year starting tonight. Remember, we are the health and wellness radio show for Blog Talk Radio, one of them anyway. And I am your host, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian and founder of Naturally Nutrition. You can find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. I'm excited because we are starting our second year, and in the new tradition of The Whole Scoop, our first show of every year will be based on health and wellness in general and what you can do. Since everybody's into the new year, everybody's into resolutions. I think last year we started on weight management. This year we're talking about balancing and just the good, solid, healthy practices of balancing nutrition with movement. Let me also tell you how excited I am that this is going to be a great, fun show because we have one of our favorite guests, one of your favorite guests, joining us again tonight, and that would be Tracy Stoppler. If you remember, Tracy's done a number of shows with us. I have to say thank you to Tracy before she ever gets on air because she's been fighting laryngitis all week, and she's done some really fabulous things just to be able to talk with us tonight. So let me help you. A couple of things, just some business before we introduce Tracy. The call-in number is 37-855-8894. And you could also direct questions and comments to www.blogtalkradio.com / The Whole Scoop. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio. We're always looking for your comments on new shows and new ideas. We welcome those. So, all that being said, I'm going to give you the number again, 347-855-894, and we will be taking questions. And if you want to ask questions, remember to press the number 1 so that you get in the queue for questions. And at that time, when we're ready to take those, we'll be calling out the last 4 digits for your phone number. And that way we'll kind of keep everything going. We got a lot of people on the board already tonight, so welcome everybody. And let's kick off with Tracy.
Hey everyone.
Tracy, how are you?
I'm okay. I just took some more syrup, so I'm kind of feeling like your vitamin to vegetable girl. And I'm feeling good, and I'm ready to go.
I'm so glad. I'm going to, you know, I usually give a little synopsis of who our guests are, and I didn't do that tonight with you, but I'm gonna go ahead and just kind of read a real short bio here before we get to it so people know if they're first-time listeners and only hearing you for the first time. So just give me a second. And feel free to chime in if I miss anything here, okay? Tracy is a registered dietitian with a Master of Science in Nutrition from New York University, and she's certified by the American College of Sports Medicine. She is the nutrition director at Nutrition Etc., ETC, in Plainview, Long Island, and she's an adjunct professor at both Adelphi University teaching nutrition and human performance and Lehman College teaching nutrition and health. Tracy has authored over 30 abstracts, papers, chapters in the scientific literature on the topic of nutrition and exercise, and has also created a series of meditation classes. That being said, you might remember her when she did a fabulous show on guided meditation for us. And before we even get to it, I'm going to ask Tracy if she'll come back and do another one this year. So you can find Tracy at nutritionetc@aol.com. Did I miss anything that you wanted in, Lacey?
No, I think it's a good setup because the class that I teach at Adelphi, Nutrition and Human Performance, is really what we're going to be discussing tonight. So I'm looking forward to sharing that information.
Great. All that being said, though, this particular, you know, I know I said that it's a tradition, it's going to be a tradition, and it is now a tradition for Whole Scoop to do, open up the year with something on health and wellness and start. That's what we're going to do in January. But all that being said, you know, I was just trying to gather a little bit here with what this really means. And even me, even that I work in this field and I see these things and I talk to people all the time, I'm still astounded by the statistics. You know, Americans are, I'm just going to read a couple of these. Americans are the biggest consumer of U.S. products, 80% in the world, but we still lead the world in obesity and unhealthy lifestyles. I mean, so it's kind of like, great, we got it on both ends. The percentage of American children and adolescents who are considered overweight or obese has tripled since 1970. And there are several chronic conditions that can be controlled and avoided with a healthy lifestyle and exercise, including cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, infertility, hypertension, sleep apnea, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, depression, anxiety, stress. Those are just to name a few. And the treatment of those chronic illnesses, along with the productivity costs, are astronomical. It's over $1 trillion annually spent on those particular things. So all of that being said, I mean, this is a big issue. But even with all of that, I'm sitting here reading these statistics, and if I'm listening to this program, I'm going, yeah, but how do you do it? How do you get to just be a person without having to stress about that? Because doesn't that add more stress to my life if I have to constantly think about, what do I have time to work out? What do I need to do? What are some of the things that people can do on a normal daily basis to help improve their overall health and movement?
Okay, I wanted to, before I answer that question, and it is a good one, I just want to address a little bit more of this, and it reminds me, because I did have a new client who started about 2 weeks ago, and I gave him just one goal to focus on, which is not overwhelming. If we can just give one goal a day or one goal a week for someone to feel very successful with that before they go and challenge themselves with another one, it will increase their confidence that they can do it. So one specific goal that I gave him, and I'm going to combine this with statistics, soda consumption. On average, this is overwhelming to me because I'm no longer a soda drinker. The average American consumes 53 gallons of soda a year. That's
oh, wow.
Enormous. 53 gallons. So the goal that I set with this gentleman was, if he felt he was able to give up soda, then go ahead and take that step. But otherwise, just dilute it. So instead of drinking a full cup, a 12-ounce can of soda, take club soda and just put in a little bit of the soda to give it the flavoring. And he was able to do that, and within 2 weeks, he just stopped drinking soda and feels so much better. So I just want to put out to your audience that we're not expected to do everything all at once. Pick one thing that's not the end of the world to you. For someone, it might be licorice. For another person, it might be ice cream. For someone else, it might be soda. Just pick one thing and give it up for one day and see how you feel with that one day. You know, my concern is a lot of people feel that they're all or nothing, that they rather give everything up, and then, you know, they feel they do better. But there's a whole mindfulness in that. And I could really, I mean, I know that we did the show on mindfulness, but there's a lot of that is applicable to everyday life, you know, that if we're just paying attention to what it is that we're eating and striving for a healthy brain will inevitably lead to a healthy body. It's going to sound like common sense, but it still requires mindfulness. Less sugar every day, less caffeine every day, less alcohol. And this is, go ahead, sorry.
No, I apologize. I was just going to say, as you're talking about that, I think the point that you started out with is just is really the thing that we need to think about, because when you're looking at just all the things you just listed, the mindfulness on less sugar and less caffeine, on less whatever, you know, it's really about not having to give up everything all at once and feel right. like you have to punish yourself. And I think that's the theme that I want people to take away tonight. I want them to understand that this isn't about punishment. This isn't about I can't ever have the things that I absolutely love. I have to exercise so much that I don't have time to, so now I need to feel guilty. It's all about what works for you and creating a balance for your lifestyle. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and actually I love that you're using the word balance. There's three key words that I like to talk about when I'm talking about both diet and exercise, and it's moderation, variety, and balance. Each of those words apply to both nutrition and exercise, not eating too much or too little of any one food or nutrient, getting a variety of the five different food groups, and just a balance of nutrient, calories in equal, even calories out to help with weight loss. But the same thing is applicable, and we're saying exercise, but I think you're going to agree with me that we talk about movement. I think when some people think of exercise, they think they have to go into a gym and they have to sweat for an hour. I'd like to challenge your audience to just think of it as movement. Put on, if you have a pedometer, or now on our phones, we have those apps. They're free apps that calculate the steps that you do and the miles that you do and even the stairs that you do. And everything counts, every movement that you do. I want you to be proud of yourself for just doing a little bit more with each passing day. The exercise, the three key words apply to the exercise also. Not too little, but also not too much exercise. Because too much, especially if you're a weekend warrior where you're not working out during the week because you only have time on the weekend, you're going to wind up getting hurt. A variety, not making it all the same exercise all the time, but mixing it up. And balance, making sure that it's not just the treadmill, making sure that it's also including flexibility and maybe some meditation or yoga and walking outside. The variety and it with the exercise is equally as important as the variety with nutrition.
Okay. Well, why don't we pick it apart a little bit? Because, I mean, I was on the role of nutrition and exercise, but it really is about balance. We picked it apart, and you had to go with three things. And this kind of sounds like a cliche, but we really are talking about mind, body, soul, right? And,
yes.
And we're talking about how does that work for, let's just take an average day in the life of somebody that is working in today's world with, you know, those statistics with Americans being the most obese in the whole world at this point in time. Why is that? Is it because we're working so much we don't have time to actually tune into our mind and actually do the things that we need to do to kind of be? Or is it because we're not moving? I mean, there's one statistic I kind of left out where, and that's just kids, and the statistics of kids, of 25% of the U.S. kids spend 4 hours or more watching TV. So is being stationary, or is it just all of the above? And if so, let's just take the day in the life of, say, one average adult who's working full-time with a family, say kids not necessarily little but not fully grown, so somewhere in the middle there that have active lifestyles, so mom and dad are constantly running kids back and forth to activities, but what do they do for themselves, and how do they get themselves in? Do they stop at McDonald's, or, you know, how do they do that? How do they work these things in?
I think the results that we're dealing with is both environment, people's free will and their choices, and it's also a component of genetics. It's habit also. So you know, I work with a lot of people who have very busy schedules, but because their genetics is on their side, they're not overweight, even though their behaviors aren't any healthier than the heavier person right next to them. So genetics really does play a role. But on top of knowing that genetics plays a role, what we choose to do really has a say in whether or not the gene will be expressed or not. So I think that that's where people need to be mindful. They need to make it a priority. That's why a lot of my clients who exercise first thing in the morning, it's done, and then whatever is expected of them during the course of the day, then they're ready for it. Exercising in the morning can reduce your level of stress during the day. So, you know, if someone asks, well, what time is the best time of day to exercise, even though I don't have the best answer for them, I know for most people, including myself, I like to get it done in the morning. This way, whatever happens during the course of the day happens. I already took care of myself.
Mm-hmm. And but honestly, there are people who just can't do that. They're getting the kids up. They're getting the kids mm-hmm. school. They just can't do that. So let's just take that out of the equation now. What can they do? They can't go to the gym. Can't spend an hour exercising. But what can they do just to get their bodies a little more in tune with some movement? What can they do? And, you know, just kind of, I think at this point I want to talk about baby steps that lead to other things, the possibility of leading into other things, just to make it realistic for people. The other thing I want to kind of bring into play too is doing baby steps like we talked about. Like, I love your example of the soda, where you take soda water and just a little bit of the soda to it and wean yourself down. Okay, great. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about as it relates to exercise. But we also have to talk about people have a tendency, especially in this country, of all or nothing. So they, mm-hmm. and you brought it up, you kind of scratched the surface a little, where you said, you know, if you go to the gym and you're not used to it, you can get hurt. Well, the same thing holds true with diet. You know, if you eliminate a bunch of things like, say, all carbohydrates, guess what? You know, that's not necessarily the best thing for your body, because you can create yourself a situation where it causes you more difficulties than not. So what is it? What is the balance? And I'm going to keep coming back to that word because I like it too. I like the balance,
yeah.
The word balance. Show.
Okay, so, you know, I think what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is to explain to everyone the basics of good eating, just to give the outline of what they should be aiming for. And
sure.
Just so that they know how close are they to doing what's best for them. Okay, now keep in mind again, genetics plays a role. So I'm talking about someone who has their blood sugar under control, someone who has their cholesterol under control, their hypertension under control. So these guidelines are for those who have seen their doctor. And the same thing goes with the exercise. I want you to make sure that if you haven't been exercising, that you don't start an exercise program until you first talk with your doctor. That's very important, too. So with the guide to good eating, and this is now going back to the balance, there are five food groups. So I'm just going to give you a minimum that everyone, every adult needs on every single day. So with the milk group, and let's just assume that if you're trying to lose weight, excuse me, you're going to want to make it fat-free milk or milk products. So if you don't want the milk and you want almond milk, that's fine. But three servings is what we're striving for. Three servings of milk or milk products a day. So it could be a cup of milk. It could be a cup of yogurt. It could be an ounce of cheese, or a quarter of a cup of ricotta cheese, or a half a cup of cottage cheese. So there's lots of different ways, there's the variety, to get the milk group. So again, the goal would be three servings every single day. That's for both men and women. For the protein group, we're looking at a minimum of 5.5 ounces for women and a minimum of 8.5 ounces for men. Obviously, if weight loss is not a goal of yours, then you can have more than that. And an ounce of lean meat, fish, or poultry is equivalent to an ounce of protein. An egg equals an ounce of protein. A tablespoon of peanut butter is equivalent to an ounce of protein. And a half a cup of beans is equivalent to 2 ounces of protein. So again, here's your choice. You have free will in how you get those minimums. With the vegetables, which most Americans consume way too little of, we're looking at a minimum of 2.5 to 3 cups of mixed vegetables every single day. And fruits, we're looking at a minimum of 2 different fruits a day. And the grains is especially important if you're looking to start an exercise program, because if you're exercising and you're depleting your glycogen stores, which is a source of energy, and you don't replace that lost glycogen, you're going to have very little energy to continue your exercise program by the week's end. And then you're going to be frustrated. And most people who have depleted stores of glycogen who are trying to exercise, they wind up binging. So I want to encourage, again, a minimum of 4 to 6 grains. And just so your audience knows, well, what's a grain? It's about the equivalent of 80 calories. So whether it comes from a slice of bread or pasta or rice or even cereal, hot or cold, it's the equivalent of about calories. And then once you meet the minimums of those 5 food groups, then most likely you don't need any vitamin or mineral supplements. And if you wanted an extra treat, that's coming from cake or cookies or candy, the sugar group, well, then you can have, let's say, the equivalent of 100 to 150 calories worth and probably still not alter your weight loss program at all.
Okay. Well, I think you just said a whole bunch of stuff there that I hope that if people are keeping notes a little bit, because you gave some really great guidelines, but I think the thing that I really want to emphasize right now is the grain component.
Okay.
Because most people, the first thing they do right now in this world is when they want to focus on their weight, they want to focus on their health, they think that carbohydrates are bad, because carbohydrates has become a four-letter word country. And let's just take a minute to, and I only want to do a minute or two on the essence of carbohydrates and what they really mean to the body. We're talking about brain function. You mentioned energy. If you were to sum it up for someone, the importance of carbohydrates in daily diet, what else would you say?
It's energy. It's the best source of energy supply that we have. And we should be consuming about 55% of our diet from complex carbohydrates. Complex, different from simple, which is from the cake, cookies, or candy. But I also want to tell you the one reason why most people do abstain from carbohydrates is the following reason. For every gram of carbohydrate we take in, we store 3 grams of water. So when people stop taking in carbohydrates, they are going to lose weight. But what they don't realize is that they're losing water weight, so it's really not a real weight. It is enough of a weight loss that it motivates them to keep going, but it's not the way to do it. It's a false advertisement, so to speak, of your weight loss. So I'm just going to repeat that again so people have an understanding. For every gram of carbohydrate we take in, we store 3 grams of water. So I want you to picture taking a dry sponge and putting it in a sink filled with water. What happens? That sponge soaks up the water. Well, our body is no different than that sponge. But the thing is, if you're trying to wipe something up and you have a dry sponge, that's not going to work. You need a wet sponge to function at its best. And that's the same thing with our body. We need the water. in our bodies to function at our best.
Okay. Thank you. That I was going on a, there was a question on the blog, so I'm kind of incorporating a question from the blog. I'm interpreting and surmising here for a minute. And the question really comes into play with peak performance. So if someone has to, and Blogger, if wrong, please blog me back and let me know if I get this wrong. The question really comes into play with someone's trying to peak performance and they know they need to cut calories, which, you know, how do they obtain both? So in other words, back to that balance, because for me, interpreting the theme of this with the balance on the other question about if someone really needs to cut calories and shave some weight, then what is it that they need to do to maximize what they're eating in order to best perform for their own body?
Okay. That's really, really individual because it depends on what exercise you're talking about.
And I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It is individual. But if you could just maybe kind of just give an example of someone that maybe you've worked with along those lines so people start to appreciate the fact that it can be done.
Okay. I'm probably going to have to break this down, but aside from the guidelines that I gave with the food groups, it winds up being about 45 to 65% coming from the grain group, the carbohydrates, about 20 to 30% coming from fat, and about 10 to 30% coming from protein. And it means that you're having a mixture, a balance, going back to that word, a balance of proteins, carbs, and fats at each meal and making sure you stay hydrated. I really have to point this out because this is something that I work with a lot. I have a lot of clients who are exercisers who cut the carbs out and who eat a lot of protein. But there is a problem to too much protein. And I'm just going to say right off the bat that I am not recommending to anyone, and I never do, any protein or amino acid supplements, not even for an athlete, because excessive protein results in weight gain, and it results in dehydration and also an excessive loss of urinary calcium, which means that someone who takes in too much protein, they have to filter out the excess nitrogen that causes more water to be utilized, causing dehydration, but also it pulls calcium out of their bones and into and excreted in the urine, which increases the risk for osteoporosis later on. So there's a heavy
Let's break that down a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just for because remember, not everybody understands that when we eat certain things that there are chemical reactions that occur. So I'm going to break it down a little further in that foods are made up of protein, fats, and carbohydrates. And those protein, fats, and carbohydrates, when ingested, the body automatically goes into particular chemical reactions to break those out, obtain the appropriate nutrients for each and every function, physiological function in the body, up to and including organ function, which is what Tracy's talking about. And if, in fact, someone has too much protein, well, protein in general will break down into different components. One of those components is nitrogen. So when those components are overloaded, like you just said, excess nitrogen, then it can cause, and I'm going to let you take it from there.
Okay. So, yes, fats break down into glycerol and fatty acid. Carbohydrates break down into glucose and glycogen. Protein breaks down into amino acids, which then have to have the amine group taken off, causes the kidneys and the liver to work a lot harder. So it puts a heavy burden on the liver and the kidneys to get rid of that excess nitrogen. So again, we're not looking to have too much or too little of any one food and nutrient. There's the balance again.
Okay, great. Let me stop you there for a second. Just remind people you're listening to the Hope Radio on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. If you are calling in and you have a question, remember to press the number 1 so I can, and I will be calling out the last four numbers of your telephone number when we start to take some questions. You're listening to Tracy Stoppler, who is the president of Nutrition Etc. in Plainview, New York. She is an expert in this particular topic tonight. We're talking about the role of nutrition and exercise and how it's a balancing act. I'm your host, Carol Ferraci, and you can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com, and you'll find Tracy at nutritionetc@aol.com. Okay, back to where we were. So all that being said, I think balance is still, I'm still coming up with the word balance. So, you know, it's kind of like when I was growing up, my mother used to say, everything in moderation. Are we talking about that tonight?
You know what I just had a visual of? Do you remember, well, I do, when I was a kid, I used to play on a seesaw. And, you know, if you're on a seesaw with someone who's much heavier than you, then you are left way up in the air, and that's not really fun. And then if you're with someone who doesn't really want to play and they just keep you, you know, they don't push back up and down, it's not fun. The best way to have the fun is to have someone who is playing up and down and up and down. And the seesaw is really what I think about with balance. And
well, isn't that true, though, about people tend to try to manage their weight? And I'm going to say things like managing weight. I'm going to say things like weight control, because everyone uses the word diet synonymously with losing weight. For me, the word diet is synonymous for defining how we eat, period.
Yes, very good.
So it is true, though. It's a seesaw thing. People go up, they come down. They go up, they come down. And then it becomes even more of a vicious cycle in that then they add in the component of being depressed. They add in the component of because they're successful with maintenance. They add in all kinds of emotional components that are there that weren't there before when they first started, and then they try everything under the sun. And I do any statistics on the weight loss industry and what they're raking in for all these different things that are allegedly like the be-all to end-all. But I guess the point I want to make tonight with this particular show is that everyone is different, and things don't always work. What you're seeing on television, what you're reading in a book, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. And you prefaced it just a minute ago when you said, you know, these guidelines are not for people with diabetes. These guidelines are not for people with hypertension, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? Probably the people that are listening all have that. So they're sitting there going, but what about me? And I'm saying, and I'm hoping that you concur, that it is about you, and it's about what you know, and it's about listening to what works for you. So if you're drinking a whole lot of soda, then start to wean off of it like Tracy gave you an example. If you're eating a whole lot of carbohydrates and you're not really getting the balance of proteins and fats, then it's about backing those down a little bit and reaching that balance for you. And how are you going to know that, Tracy? How are they going to know that it's right for them? What's the best thing they can do right now to know that?
I think they're going to feel better. And
That's
here's
it.
The thing, though. But this is. I think that we as a universally suffer from a thinking problem, meaning it's not just kids who want what they want when they want it. And we all have that kid in us, and we all want immediate gratification. And I think we just need to slow it down a little bit, and we need to change the way we're thinking. We need to just understand that anything worthwhile takes time. You're not going to reach your goal in a week. You should feel better in a week, for sure. You should feel less bloated in a week. But the immediate gratification of wanting what you want when you want it, we have to change the way we're thinking.
Okay. So, in other words, they're going to feel better. When they start to feel better, they're going to realize the changes that they're making is what works for them. And that's about being, in tune with just realizing what's happening, what's working for you. What I usually say to people is, you'll know it when you feel it. And it's true. It's different for every, I have people saying, when I cut, because I work with food sensitivity a lot. And people think that I'm totally crazy because when I give them a plan that they've been tested for and they have all these foods that they absolutely love that they realize might be causing them a problem, they're like, oh, I could never do this. And I tell them, if you take it for the first 10 days and we go through each one of those, let's see where you are in 10 days. And in 10 days, we usually see such a great improvement in their overall health picture that they are just, they're sold, hook, line, and sinker. And all they did was make a change for on those particular foods. And they didn't do anything else. They didn't try to incorporate some master program, some master plan of anything. Those foods were specific to that particular person, and that person is the one that felt better. And it wasn't because somebody else told them to do it. So I think that's part of balance. You have to realize what works for you, and you just have to be intuitive enough to just say it's okay. If I don't lose 20 pounds by the end of the month, which isn't a good idea anyway, but I did lose 2 pounds and I'm feeling better, then reward yourself. Be nice to yourself. Always be nice to yourself about that.
I wanted to comment, though. You mentioned you'll know it because you'll feel it, and I do agree with that. However, I get a little concerned because sometimes in our habits, in our long-term habits, what doesn't feel good has just become comfortable. Meaning, okay, they feel bloated, but that bloated is a natural feeling. So what I just want to make sure of is that you may not feel good initially. Like, for example, my patient who gave up the soda, he had a headache. He had a headache during the week that he gave it up. So 2 weeks he felt amazing, but you really may feel a little uncomfortable at first. And I think that's the problem with our society. That's not okay with us. Like, we all want immediate gratification. We want to feel good all the time, and I get that. But sometimes to feel good, to feel better in the long run, in giving up some of the things that you're doing, you might not feel good. It's almost like when someone's smoking, it relieves their anxiety that when they quit smoking, which obviously is healthier for them, they may feel a little anxiety at first, so they need another coping mechanism. Well, it's the same thing with food. People use food as a coping mechanism, so you may not feel good right away until you find a healthier replacement for that unhealthy habit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Thank you for clarifying that. I couldn't agree more. We're going to go to the blog for a minute, though. A couple questions. And got a question here that says, you know, people always say that it's easier to have hard liquor, but you know, better than any other liquor if you're trying to lose weight. I'm laughing blog only because I so wish that was that would be a good thing to know. Tracy, where are you with alcohol? What is that? I've never even heard that before.
I definitely have heard it. But first, I just want to clarify that alcohol, no matter which source it's from, whether it's from wine, whether it's from hard liquor or beer, well, beer has carbohydrates in it, but alcohol cannot be converted into energy. There is a separate cycle where it is just not used. It is just converted into triglycerides, which is fat cells. So what I would tell someone who's saying to me, look, I'm going out and I know I'm going to drink, I would just say, well, pick your favorite type of drink and limit it to one, because the body can handle one.
Okay.
So whatever it is that you would feel better having, then just have it. But one is that moderation. One is that balance that we're talking about.
Well, so is that realistic for someone that maybe doesn't go out a lot but is trying to just have a night out with some friends? Should they feel guilty if they have more than one? Where does the guilt factor come into this? And we didn't even talk about that yet. And I want to remind everybody, press the number one if you have a question. We're going to be getting the questions on the board in just a couple minutes.
Guilt is an irrational feeling. You know, I think that I don't like to talk about guilt. To me, guilt is something if you're doing something to maliciously hurt someone else. I don't think guilt is the right word here. I think you can feel disappointed. I think you can feel unhappy. You can feel not guilt. I just don't think guilt is an appropriate feeling for going off of a food plan. I just don't think it's a healthy feeling.
So can we give people a pass here? Like, if you're working really hard and you're trying to, you know, just really try to maintain that balance, and maybe you're making a few changes and maybe they're little changes and you are feeling better and you have a night out with your friends you know, maybe say one to two drinks, three at the very most, but make sure you're not driving, you know?
Good, yes. And then if you want to be accountable for each drink, it would be one fruit and one grain. So this way you have some idea, okay, there's sugar in it, there's the sugar, there's the fruit, and the grain for the carbohydrate. There's really no other way to count it, and then the grain and the fruit really make up for the approximate calories that are found in the drink. So, no, don't feel guilty. Maybe the next day do a little more exercise or cut back in your grains and your fruit. But I certainly want to point out that alcohol doesn't have any nutrients, so I don't want to recommend that you do it often, only because the vitamins and minerals are found in the food, not in the alcohol. And it, believe it or not, it's the alcohol that can cause nutrient deficiencies. So, no, go enjoy the evening every once in a while, but make it infrequent.
And know that alcohol is really not a component for weight loss. Is that right?
It's also not a component for healthy brains. You know, if we're talking about in moderation, like one to two drinks, then yes. But otherwise, it's a whole other conversation.
Okay, great. You want to take a couple of phone calls?
I'd love to.
All right, well, let's do this. So we're going to take a couple phone calls. Remember to press the number one. Number one is 347-855-8894. We still have some time left, so we're going to take phone calls. Let's go with caller 6480. 6480, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm great. Thank you. I have a question. I'm sure the whole world says this, but I'm a very busy person. I have 7 grandkids that I help a lot with, plus I work. I run all day. I'm just wondering, like, is it okay to take one thing and focus on it for a week or two to get started, or what do you suggest? I feel like I don't have 5 minutes for me.
7 grandkids, good for you. I bet they love you. You could get so much movement with your grandkids. But of course, pick one thing. One thing a week is really, really, you could be very inspired by that. And it can certainly, by the end of the week, if you're sticking to it, it can really increase your confidence level.
Okay.
Say that again.
What?
You broke up for me there. Can you say that again?
I broke up?
Yeah, just for a second there. Can you just say that one more time?
Yes. I was just telling her, that one item a week is absolutely fine. Do you know what that one item would be?
Well, unfortunately, as we're talking about alcohol, it'd probably be giving up a glass of wine here and there.
Okay. But would that be okay with you? Because I want to make sure that whatever it is that someone's choosing, they don't become resentful about it.
Right.
I think that's a real point to make. You can't. You got to pick something that you will not end up being resentful for.
And I'm also guilty of, and it's probably even worse than having a glass of wine, I'm also guilty when I'm running and I'm starving to go through a fast food line. I'm guilty of that.
So maybe, and something that you can consider is maybe planning a little bit better, that you have something on you, whether it be in the car or in your bag, so that you don't skip meals, but you also you're not tempted to go to the fast food restaurant. Although you can make okay choices, I'm just thinking anything that you bring from home is probably going to be a better choice, and certainly just enough to hold you over until you get home.
Let me help there. Can I help out there for a minute? I happen to be gluten-free, and because I'm gluten-free, up until now, things are a little different because there's a whole lot more variety. But when I first became gluten free, it was very difficult, and I was on the road a lot. And so when I would have to go back and forth to different places, I didn't have the luxury of stopping in somewhere and just buying something. Nor did I even have the option of really going to a grocery store and finding a whole lot of stuff other than stuff that I would have to work with. Now that the options are different, some more easily readied foods to become available. So what I would do is I would have I would pick nuts and I would put them in a little container and I'd carry those around, or I would carry a protein bar of some sort that had a nice combination of carbohydrates and fat, so that it was a nice lunch for me. So that if I did get hungry and I didn't have the opportunity to actually make something ahead of time and carry it with me because I was on the road all day and I needed to carry something over and like that. Tracy, would you be okay with that?
Yes, definitely. I hope that we were.
I don't know. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that makes sense, and that would help. And I'll concentrate on that for a week or two, and then maybe I'll get back to you.
Yeah,
good
because
you
know what, it's one thing a week, and then you just kind of build on that. Because if you pick one thing a week and you say, "All right, this week I'm going to do soda," well, next week, when you're choosing to do the maybe fast food, you don't go back to the soda. You know, you stick with limiting the soda and now the fast food. So maybe by the end of the month, you focused on four different things.
Right.
Make sense?
Right. Yep. And also, I don't know, maybe you can give me a suggestion. I'm only in my mid-50s, and I do have severe osteoporosis.
Okay.
Any
Tracy?
Suggestions for that?
Yeah, you know what? You're going to want to make sure that you're consuming your 3 servings of milk and milk products a day, and that might be something that you want to carry with you. You know, it's cold out now, so you could put milk in water bottles and carry that and make sure that whatever milk products you're having, that it also has the added vitamin D, which is really important. You might want to talk with your doctors whether or not you should be taking a calcium or a vitamin D supplement. I'm not suggesting that everyone just go out and do it, because when you take a supplement and you don't have a deficiency, it can actually cause imbalances of other vitamins and minerals. So it's very important that you first get diagnosed that there's a problem before you start taking any supplements.
Okay.
But the
exercise
will also strengthen your bones. So the combination of you paying attention to your diet and movement is going to help you. You're a young grandma.
Yeah, I know. So I keep down the
kids.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah, I love it. And, I was diagnosed very young with osteoporosis, and I think a lot of it is because I've never liked milk, and my problem is the milk I got was in a milkshake, and then, you know, I gained weight. I do like yogurt, but just a glass of milk turns my stomach.
You might want to look into, and I'm not promoting any one product, but they're the Special K drinks, whether it's chocolate or strawberry or the Boost or the Ensure, they all have added calcium and vitamin D. And it does taste a little bit like a milkshake. And you can, for the amount of calcium that's in them, you can actually count that as 2 milks. So that might be, a good alternative for you.
And
okay.
Sometimes I tell people if you're going to do the Boost or something like that, if you have a chance, throw a little bit of ice in a blender, put the Boost on top of it, and blend it up and make it like a kind of a icy smoothie kind of thing, and it'll taste even better. You can add, you can add a couple drops of vanilla extract. And if you're gluten-free, make sure it's pure vanilla extract. And, you can add a couple things. You can even add some strawberries to it and go for it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. Right. Appreciate the call. Okay. Another question. We'll do 4977.
Hello.
497. Hi, you're on
Hello.
The air.
Hi, how you doing? My question is, this is for both of you girls. How have our diets changed in the past, say, 40 years in this country, along with our lifestyles, that, you know, have gotten us to this point in this topic in balance?
Tracy?
Oh, you want to take that first, or should I?
No, you go for it.
Okay. Going back 40 years, I'm just thinking 40 years, I think people were more active in planning their food. We're certainly more convenient eaters. We're less physically active, and we're eating foods that are not applicable. Are you? Can I ask how your diet has changed in the past 40 years?
Well, I would say that it's improved a lot over the past 15 to 20, but it started off probably poor earlier on.
You mean when you were a child?
Yes.
Good. I just made you feel good. Good.
Yes, you did. You did, Tracy. No, I was thinking more like along the lines of the actual quality of the food
that's completely different.
Yes.
Okay, that's completely different. I mean, I think unless you are growing your own fruits and vegetables, I think that there's a lot more chemicals added to our food. I think that, and all of those chemicals can change brain chemistry. I really want to start my own garden. I keep saying that every year. But I think it's even the quality of the food, and I don't have research to support what I'm saying now, but I'm just thinking the soil has changed. And the quality of the food is not as good as it has been in the past, simply because we're not taking care of our earth the way we were.
I think that's a topic. You know, I think that's a topic for a whole show, right?
Yeah.
There. I think thank you for calling in with that particular question, because I think that's a show I need to shape and talk about just how our foods have changed and what that means nutritionally for all of us. And if you think that's a good idea, those of you who are listening, give us some feedback on Facebook, because I'm happy to start working on that particular show. If you think that'll help you, if you think it'll shed some light, I think that'd be good.
I have just a person that I think would be terrific. That is not an area of expertise of mine, but I know someone who would be perfect for that.
Okay, great. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Caller, thank you so much. We got another caller on the board.
You.
We're running out of time.
Thank you.
So we're going to move. Thank you. And those of you who called in, remember to press 1 again after you're done so that it clears you from the question queue, okay? Well, we're going to go to caller 2205.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Carol. I have a question. I know that it's probably bad. I'm actually a registered dietitian as well, and I'd rather sleep a little bit later and then go to work, and I don't actually prepare myself a breakfast, and then I find myself getting to work, getting up my day, and going to morning meetings and getting caught up in everything that's going on at work, that all of a sudden it's lunchtime, and I've had only a breakfast smoothie or something of that nature up until then. And do you have any suggestions and for me? And I know that this is definitely something that most people have issues with, is getting that breakfast in and making sure that you start off your day energized and ready to go, and skipping meals and how that can hinder weight loss, and it could end up leading to weight loss or not being able to be as healthy as you want to be and function at your best and all of that.
So the moral of the story on that particular question would be that dietitians are people too?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so Tracy, go for it, because it's
yes.
a great question. Because
yes.
it really does. See, so everybody who thinks that, you know, oh, I'm going to talk to a dietitian and they're just perfect, we're not. Okay, so
yes.
thank you for calling on that particular question. We really appreciate it. And Tracy, I'm going to let you take it.
Actually, this has been just about snacking. I mean, you said that you're having a smoothie before work. Okay, that's something. Maybe it's a meeting you could snack on almonds or maybe a banana, just something really easy during the meetings. But making sure if you don't have time for a sit-down meal, then just make sure you have something every 3 to 4 hours, just enough to keep your blood sugar on an even keel so that you're able to function to your best.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're choosing that you're sleeping later, I'm going to tell you that I'm glad to hear that, because sleep is really important. So making sure you get 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night is really important. If someone says, well, I'm going to get 6 hours and go exercise, I wouldn't recommend that. So your sleep is really important. I'm glad you're making that decision to sleep later. But I'm sure also that you'll make better choices so that you're not skipping meals, because I know you know that's not important, that's not beneficial too.
No, definitely, because there's most of the time I feel like people who don't eat breakfast or they end up skipping lunch, they end up binging and eating these huge meals and consuming all these calories, and then they're like, well, I only had 2 meals today, but they're making up for that lost meal with the other meals because they're just eating in excess amounts because they're so hungry or their eyes are bigger than their stomach, and then they end up finishing everything because we live in a society where portions are so large and people are just over-consuming constantly that it's a huge problem as well that leads to our issues with obesity and everything like that.
Absolutely well said. On that note, though, we're going to have to cut it short. We're running out of we're out of time, actually. But I think the one thing I'd like to recap on that particular question before we say goodbye to this caller is, Tracy said it well, you need to maintain your blood sugar levels, and you need to maintain the fact that your body does need some food. So if you keep some almonds on hand, you keep a little bit of on hand, that gives you a way to make it through a little bit. It's not the best choice, but it's a better choice than, say, going to the vending machine and buying a candy bar. So, ladies, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for calling in.
And we're going to wrap up the show tonight. Say thank you to everybody who joined us. Thank you for helping us kick off our second year. Tracy, laryngitis, everything aside, again, another fabulous show with you. You know, I'm going to start doing this show with you. You just do such a great job with me. Thank you.
I love working with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're fabulous. We're going to book some shows with Tracy. We're going to talk about that later. And I want to tell everybody what's coming up. We've got Tricia Torrey, who will be joining us on January 28th. She's with a healthcare advocacy group. We're going to talk about why it's important to have a healthcare advocate when you're undergoing certain things. If you're in the hospital, if you are looking at certain kinds of procedures, it's important to have an advocate on your side, and she's with the Advo Connection, so she is the person to be talking to. We're going to be looking in February at massage and why it's so healing. We're going to have 2 fabulous massage therapists on, talk about different techniques and different things you might want to look at as it relates to chronic conditions and all the things that we talked about tonight. Again, part of that balance. And we're going to be talking about supplementation. I've got a great person coming on talking about supplements and why maybe buying your supplements at Costco isn't necessarily the best choice or the grocery store, or it could be the best choice for you. But we're going to talk about the difference of supplements and why they're important and why you should be cautious about certain supplements. And like Tracy said earlier, we're going to wrap all that in and let everybody know about supplementation. Then we're going to also be doing a show in March on energy healing and what is that and how does that really play a role and can you be a part of that. So we got some great shows coming up. We're going to be doing brain health. We're going to have Mary Ellen Philbin come back. She's the caregiver person for Share the Care. She's going to be talking about taking care of the caregiver. So we've got a variety of topics already scheduled for this year, which I think are fabulous. And, again, we're open to your suggestions. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And please come back on the 28th. Tracy, you're always welcome back. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. And good night, everybody.